The reading is Matthew 13, 10 to 30. Eyes to see and ears to hear. Disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. For I truly tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Amen. I think I missed a bit out there.
You missed out the bit where the worries of the world and wealth choke people and stop them actually being fruitful in their lives. When you actually look at the commentaries on this passage, they mainly focus on that, a true disciple has this, and a false disciple has this. And so what we're going to focus on today is what we have as true disciples of Jesus. But let's start by this phrase. It says that we don't see the world the way it is. We see the world the way we are. It is amazing what we perceive. You know, when I'm looking, am I looking at what God is doing in this world, or am I looking at what Satan's doing in this world? Yeah? When I'm looking at other people, and am I looking at what annoys me in them, or what God's Spirit is doing in them? And all of that is based on me, not on them and the world. Do you see? Yeah? And so to me today, my prayer and my heart's desire is that we begin to clearly see God's kingdom on earth. Clearly see what we have promised as true disciples in this passage, that we can see and hear the secrets and mysteries of God's kingdom. So as you know, we've started this series on God's kingdom. Reminding us last week, you know, David reminded us last week that Jesus is God's son and the king in God's kingdom. We reminded that he's relational, servant king. We are not following a set of rules and principles, but the person, of Jesus Christ, who is King. We're invited to participate in God's kingdom on earth. And to do this involves, he said, repentance, taking up your cross, and obedience to what Jesus is calling you. That was from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Hopefully some of you studied it in your home groups. What we're looking at this week is Matthew, chapter 13. And you will discover that if you have a real Bible, most of us have an electronic one, but if you have a real Bible, if you actually looked at the pages, you will find the word kingdom on every page in Matthew's Gospel. The point of Matthew's Gospel, the point of Jesus' message, is to teach us about God's kingdom. Same in Mark's Gospel. So the whole point of the Gospels is to say there's a message about God's kingdom. And actually, as his disciples, we have the ability to see and hear and understand that. And so in this passage, a true disciple, we discover, is someone who repents from doing life their way. You know, I always remember that song, "Do it my way." Well, no, that's not how we're meant to do it. It's do it his way. You know, can we change the words to that song? Can we actually say, no, I actually don't want to keep going this way with this thinking and these thoughts. I actually want to go this way and follow his kingdom ways and his will. And so you repent and you receive Jesus as Lord and as King. Remember, if we want to step into the kingdom, we receive Jesus as Lord and King and as Savior, saved from our sins and saved from death. And daily we also receive God's Spirit, choosing to be with Jesus, become like him and do as Jesus did. True disciples, people who have entered into God's kingdom. That's who we are. And they are given, not earned. It isn't something you earn. You can't earn what is offered in this passage. It's something that Jesus has given to you. Not he will give you. He has given you this. So you have, if you've repented, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you have received the Holy Spirit, you have been given knowledge and understanding of God's kingdom. You have been given the ability to see and hear the secrets and mysteries of God's kingdom. You have a gift. You've got it. It's not a case of, Lord, give it to me. You've got it. Because he says, anyone who's my disciple, this is what you've got. Yeah? If you need to go to sleep now, that's fine. But remember, the key point here today is, like, number one, all right, you have the knowledge and understanding of the kingdom. And number two is you actually can see and hear the secrets of the mystery of the kingdom. Okay? Right, point number one. Knowledge and understanding. Jesus replied when the disciples asked him the question, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, not to them, not to the crowds who are amazed and entertained by Jesus, but given to the disciples, those who follow him, it's not just like I'm going to give you a bit of an understanding. I'm going to give you that understanding of my kingdom in abundance. Yeah. True disciples are those people who've been given, not earned, some understanding of Jesus and the spiritual truths he taught because their hearts have been receptive, not hard. True disciples understand and know about God's kingdom. Do you remember? I mean, I remember that sort of gradual dawning on me of the message of Jesus. You know, Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I was taught it for 10 years. I mean, granted, I was a baby when I started, I became a Christian at 10. But I was taught about Jesus and the Savior. And I was taught that I needed to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior so that I no longer face death, that I no longer will be held accountable for my sins. Do you remember that? Some of you, it might have been a moment where you're just like, oh my goodness, I get it, and receive Jesus and his Holy Spirit. Others of you, it's just a gradual process where you understand the message of the good news. But to be honest with you, the message I was taught was salvation, not God's kingdom. The message I was taught was, I've now got a ticket to heaven. And my understanding was that the kingdom of God was heaven, as opposed to the kingdom of God is now and not yet. It's here on earth. I honestly never got the point of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I hadn't grasped what Mark said. His kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, there's a manifestation of God's kingdom since Jesus landed on this planet. And it's growing. And it's growing. So if somebody said to you, not the message of salvation, but if somebody said to you, can you describe to me clearly what God's kingdom on earth looks like? Could you? Could you? That's the point of everything Jesus said. That's the point, actually, of the 41 parables. That's what this passage is saying. You've been given this. You can do this. But if I'm really honest with you, I couldn't. And I didn't. And, you know, it was something that, it was almost like that moving into salvation, that moving into gradually being able to see and hear the secrets of God's kingdom. Because he says in verse 16 in Matthew 30, he says, but blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. And I was thinking, my ears really weren't blessed. And my eyes weren't blessed because I genuinely couldn't explain that to somebody else. So what happened for me and my journey was when I understood the difference between two kingdoms and what makes that difference. And so for me, when I moved from the kingdom of United Kingdom, and at that time we had Queen, you know, with a monarch there, to the kingdom, at that time they had a king, the kingdom of Nepal, when I shifted from one country to the other, I began to notice the difference of these two kingdoms. And if you compare two kingdoms, you begin to grasp all the differences between the United Kingdom, Kingdom of Nepal, and God's kingdom. You see, in Nepal, the king was a dictator. Initially, we had a fairly benevolent one, but he decided, he decreed, he ruled. And then we had a really bad one after he was murdered. And we really didn't, you know, that king was there for us as citizens there, do you know what I mean, to fund him. You know, he ruled, he reigned not nicely. Even in the UK, if you think about it, we fund the monarch. We serve the monarch. The army lays down its life for the monarch. Yeah. To have an audience with our monarch, our king now, you have to earn it, don't you? You have to do some amazing things to actually get invited to afternoon tea there and have cucumber sandwiches without crusts, all right? You know, but Jesus as our king in the kingdom, he is a monarch, but he's just totally different to the Nepal's king or to our king, because Jesus says, I've come to serve, not to be served. He said, I've come to be your Jehovah Jireh, your provider, rather than you provide for me. I've come to lay down my life for you, as opposed to you lay your life down for me. He invites us into his very throne room. Everybody is invited. Yeah? The king is in our midst this morning. You are invited to come and to meet him this morning. Everyone is invited in his kingdom. Can you see the difference immediately? So you can relate to other people and say, well, you know how our monarch is. Well, our king in this kingdom is totally different. And when I landed in 2000 in Nepal for the first time, I was bombarded by different fragrances. Some of them were quite pleasant. Everybody smelled of garlic and ginger, which I don't mind. Do you know what I mean? But that was the smell that they had, you know. And as soon as you go outside the airport, though, you can start smelling not so pleasant stuff. Because, I mean, cows just roam the street. Remember, they're gods. So you've got a bit of poop on the street. The Bagmati River is just a little bit away from the airport. And the Bagmati River is where they cremate bodies and let them let the rest flow down. It's where you put your dead dogs and dead animals. It's where you put all your rubbish. Now, the reason they think this is a good idea is because they think that as the river flows down, it becomes the Ganges. So they're sending all their rubbish to the India, who they don't like. So they're very happy to put all of it. Do you know what I mean? But to be honest with you, I honestly thought I gagged the first time I went over the river, because it was just so smelly. If you go when it's not monsoon season, you just pray for monsoon when the torrential rains take some of it down. Do you know what I mean? But the rest of the year, it's like, oh my goodness. So there's a fragrance that's different. You know, when you land in Gatwick, you haven't got these fragrances going around. You know, people don't smell like garlic. Yeah. It's the same if you think about it in God's kingdom. Remember, there's a passage that talks about the fragrance of Christ. Yeah? The fragrance of Christ. And it says, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. In God's kingdom, you smell good. In God's kingdom, you leave an aroma wherever you go. Yeah? It works differently in God's kingdom, but in God's kingdom, there's a fragrance, a different fragrance. Also, when I landed in Nepal, of course, it was like, namaste, you know, sanchai hanunta. You know, people were talking in a different language and speaking differently. Even the letter T has four pronunciations. So the letter T is T, T, and then aspirated, T, T. All right. So there's four T's. So when you hear somebody, you know, who speaks from the Devanagari script, the Hindi script, you know, which Nepali is, you know, it's like, thank you, not thank you, because they speak differently. Yeah. And the idea is, again, we have a different language in God's kingdom. We have the language of love. We carry truth when we speak. We can speak truths that will bring life to people. We speak a different language. Yeah? We carry a different language as Christ's followers in his kingdom. We understand, as Proverbs 18:21 says, that there is power of life in our tongue. There's also power of death. We understand that every word that we say can either bring life or death. We understand that we can speak truth that will set people free to be all they're created to be. We can also detect lies. You know, the Lord has gradually said, Judith, I think that's a lie you believe. You know, therefore, I want to replace it with truth because it will set you free. And when you're listening to other people, you're thinking, actually, that's a lie you believe about yourself or God or others. And so let's just work with that lie. Let's pray about it and replace that with truth, because that will set you free to be all God has created you to be. There's a different language in God's kingdom. Boy, was the culture different in Nepal compared to the United Kingdom. And as you begin to watch the people, the Nepalese people, and compare them to the British citizens, the British people, you suddenly realize, oh my goodness, what a cultural divide there is here. And it's based on your belief affects your actions. So in Nepal, fatalism is the belief. And the consequence of fatalism is there's nothing you can do about whether you live or die. Yeah? The gods determine that with a little g. They determine, and they will determine whether you live or die. Therefore, there's no point looking when you cross the road. Therefore, there's no point looking to your right or your left when you're coming out from a side road onto a main road, because the gods will determine that day whether you live or die. I mean, that was a real shock to me. You know, I don't know, I grew up with the Green Man and Tufty and all sorts of things. You know what I mean? Did you? Do you know what I mean? Like, I was taught I had to cross the road. You know, I had to pass a driving test, which said, don't pull out when you see a car coming. You know? And it's the same, that there's such a cultural difference between the United Kingdom and the kingdom of God, based on your belief and then the culture of what you actually do. And I'm just going to give you one tiny example here. God teaches us to look after the refugees, to care for the widows and the orphans. You'll find that Leviticus 19:34, Deuteronomy 10:18, James 1:27. What scripture says is we are to welcome them into our nation as native born and take care of them. That's God's word. That's what we're to be like in God's kingdom. And we have quite a different attitude towards refugees because we view our resources as limited. I studied economics, as you know, and the foundation of all economics is there are limited resources. No, they're not. There's more than enough resources in this planet for everybody to live a really good life. What's the problem? Yeah. That foundational, you know, belief of greed, of I've got to provide for myself. And the consequence of that culture is that we have an unfair distribution. It's not that there's a lack of resources, it's an unfair distribution of those resources. And so because we believe in scarcity of resources, because we fear other races, we fear other people, we don't realize that of course everybody's meant to be different. I'm looking at your faces, oh my goodness, you are so different. You know, we've got a different DNA, we've got a different voice print, we've got a different eye print, we've got, a different thumbprints, we've got different everything. We are designed to be unique. We're designed to be different. Why do we fear differences? And yet we're all made in the likeness and image of God. So when we listen to the United Kingdom, the rhetoric of the politicians, rather than to what God says about refugees, we are functioning in this kingdom. We are functioning as United Kingdom citizens when God says you're now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And don't get Rosie and I started on widows. Yeah. Or orphans or children who need to be fostered. Did you see the difference in thinking, the difference in culture in God's kingdom? Have we bought into the United Kingdom's understanding as opposed to God's kingdom thinking? Can we see and hear what he's saying rather than our politicians? And finally, Nepal has a very different financial system compared to the UK. You can't take rupees out of the country and you can't bring Nepali rupees into the country. Their currency can't handle being exchanged on the international markets. It's so weak. And so therefore, the currency stays in Nepal. You cannot purchase anything with Nepali rupees from outside, from another nation. Yeah? You can only purchase stuff with Nepali rupees in Nepal. There were hardly any banks when I arrived in 2000, completely cash society, which is very different to ours. Yeah. And also, you didn't pay council tax. You might be saying, yippee, all right, but then you had no services that the council provided. So you had no refuge collection, no free education, no libraries, no parks, no social care, no maintenance on the roads. Yeah. Very different way of running a country financially. But in God's kingdom, there are different rules compared to the world's financial systems. In God's kingdom, the principle is the more you give, the more you receive. That is not the world's view, is it? At all. That's not the United Kingdom's view. I remember when I came back from Nepal on furlough one time and I was in a tent meeting at Ashburnham Place with my mum. And there was these people talking about King's School that was going to set up just outside Brighton. And they were sharing their vision, not to have a Church of England or a Roman Catholic school, but to have a Christian school. And they were looking for funds. And the Lord said, empty your bank account. I'm like, I'm a missionary, Lord, you know. I had £1,500 in my bank account, which I was like, yes, I've got a little bit of leeway here. Do you know what I mean? But he's like, empty your bank account. I said, Lord, you know, I've got no savings. I've got nothing. I earn £400 a month when I go back. He said, empty your bank account. So I wrote a check, £1,500, and gave it to them and blessed them and held my breath. Before I even landed in Nepal 2 weeks later, not telling anyone what I'd done, I had £2,500 in my bank account. You can't outgive God. You know, generosity is his culture in the kingdom of God, not greed, like you say, not I've got a, you know, me, my, not my way. His kingdom is totally different in how it functions financially. You know, you tithe 10% of your income to your local church. Why? Because you want to express faith and gratitude to God. You want to provide a place for people to come and worship. You want to provide love and care in the community by giving of your tithe so that that can be provided in the community. You want to have a place to grow and to understand and know God and his kingdom. That's your tithe. And then on top of that, you give gifts according to God's word. Gifts to help missionaries locally and internationally. You give gifts to your community. You give on top of that to charities and other people. You use the money God has given you to further his kingdom. That's why he gives you money. And he says, do this generously and generationally. Because what the Lord says is, you're to leave something for the next generation. You know, that's how finances work in his kingdom. You're to leave a kingdom legacy with what you have. And as you know, my mother's just died, and I am so impressed with her understanding of finance. She's the one who taught me what scripture said about finances, to tithe, to give on top of that. She taught me. So when we sold our house in Lincoln Avenue, 10% of that money went to St. Luke's, even though she could no longer attend St. Luke's because she was housebound. She continued tithing to St. Luke's when she went to the nursing home. Why? Because she knew that St. Luke's needed the money to continue the kingdom work that had happened. Was happening in Prestonville, Brighton. And now in her will, she has given money not only to that church, but also to the very first church that we went to, Church of Ascension in Peacehaven. She wants these to last. She wants them to continue to grow and to exist. God's financial systems and ways of functioning are very different to the world's. Now, I could go on explaining about God's kingdom, but are you getting a picture? Are you beginning to see and hear and understand? God's kingdom is so different, and we are citizens of that kingdom. This is our king, and this is how he's called us to be and to function. I could talk to you about the clothing. Do you remember how you go into Nepal and everyone's wearing different clothes? But again, think of what we're clothed in as God's people. I mean, for starters, we just got a robe of righteousness and a breastplate of righteousness, just in case you forget you're righteous because of what Jesus has done. You know, you've got a helmet of salvation. You've got so much. Do you remember in the clothing you've got? You're completely differently dressed to anyone else out there who's not a disciple. There's, I've run out of time, but what a phenomenal mental, physical, and emotional health system in God's kingdom. Think about it. It's very different to our NHS. Bless them. Very grateful that it's free here. You know? But what contribution does all this make to our lives? We, Jesus' disciples, are told the truth by Jesus that we have been given this knowledge, this understanding, ability to see and hear. And he says, otherwise, other people might see and hear. Their ears might understand and their hearts will turn. The reason that he gives us this is because he wants to heal us. Do you see that? This passage is saying, the reason I give you this understanding, knowledge, and ability to see and hear is because I want to heal you and I want you to be fruitful. You have been given this. Why? So that you can be healed and so that you can be fruitful. It's not a matter even of asking for this. It's a matter of you've been given this. Just use it. You have this ability and understanding of my kingdom. Receive it into your good soil and start being fruitful as you share not just about salvation, but share about the differences between the United Kingdom and God's kingdom. You may be saying, well, how do I see and hear? How do I actually, you know, begin to get that knowledge and understanding? And how do I have it in abundance? Well, for starters, God's word. You literally says, how do I hear? Well, if you read God's word, you are hearing God speak. You're beginning to understand his kingdom. That's why it's so important as we're training up these new disciples to get them into God's word, because they'll begin to hear God speak. I don't know, how do you hear God speak? You know, because there's lots of ways that God speaks. I know some of you have got visions. Some of you get dreams. You know, God speaks to you in that way. Some of you get prophetic words. Some of you get images, some verses. You know, God speaks through teachers. He speaks through songs. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through books. He speaks through his creation and maybe even animals to Ruth. And he speaks through our circumstances. God is speaking all the time so that we can hear and understand the secrets and mysteries of his kingdom. You see, when I see God working in somebody's heart, I went to the parish AGM and the lady next to me, the Lord said, I've got a word for her, you know, and I was like, oh. You know, I didn't know, I didn't even know her name. I said, Lord, I don't even know her name. Do you know what I mean? But he says, I've got this word for you. And you know, like it just goes through your head and you're thinking, okay, I'll give it to her, but I don't know her name, Lord. Give me a name. And the minute the AGM stopped, she came and said, hello, my name's Tracy. I was like, okay, I've got a name. So I said, look, I just want to share with you this, you know, this message of what the Lord has said. And we've become friends. And she's receptive and open. She's like, you know, I don't really want to know about what you're, you know, you're a minister, but I'm having you as my friend, not as a minister. Fair enough. And then questions start coming. Her soil is receptive. And so is her partners. And even her mother-in-law is a Christian, and I met her the other day, and I'm just thinking, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, that I've had ears to see, and eyes to see the secrets and mysteries of your kingdom, and to actually impart that. And that, Lord, I'm just praying that she is another one who comes to know Jesus. How is your soil, your receptivity to God and his kingdom this morning? Is there anything hindering you seeing, hearing, and daily growing in your knowledge and understanding of God and his kingdom? I love how Paul at the end of Acts, he basically says, okay, I just want to summarize all that I've been doing from Acts 1 to Acts 28, I think it is, yeah. And he says, I have proclaimed the kingdom of God wherever I've gone. I've taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now, I kind of think, you know, trying to be stoned to death and escaping and, you know, whipped and everything. But he's like, no, nope, nothing hindered me. I carried on. Is there anything hindering you this morning? And how's your heart? Because God's kingdom is one of peace. It's one of joy. It's one of right relationship with God, with yourself and with others. It's a safe place and a secure place to make your home in that kingdom. Remember last week, David talked about the wise man builds his house upon a rock. I want to love and serve Jesus, my King. I want to explore God's kingdom. I want to partner with God in building his kingdom within me, through me, and around me. Do you? I'm just going to take a few moments of silence for you to think, how's your heart, how's your soil, your receptivity this morning? And is there anything hindering you? And if so, just deal with it with the Lord, quietly, on your own. Lord, thank you that you've given us the ability to know, to understand, to see and to hear the secrets and mysteries of your kingdom. Lord, I pray that each one of us would have receptive soil, so that we can be healed and be fruitful. And Lord, I pray if there's anything oppressing anyone right now, you taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. And so Lord, if there's anything hindering people from having good soil this morning, anything hindering people from not seeing and hearing what you're doing in your kingdom, I just pray now in Jesus' name that you would lift off those hindrances and release people to know, to understand, to see and to hear. Because I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.